This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I am here with the legend, Don Fry, one of the greatest fighters of all time. Definitely the most exciting fighter and the toughest human being of all time. Where do you put yourself in the top 10?
Thank you.
You think you're number best top five heavyweight of all time? What do you think?
Sure, why not? Now, if I get to pick, you're damn right.
I mean, as far as heavyweights go, how do you think you would have done against Ngannou in a fight?
I had a great fight. I think it would have been a great fight between Ngannou and myself, you know, because he's got the, you know, the size and the strength, and he might, but you know, I think I would have the speed on him, and I got obviously got the experience, you know, and you know,
you're actually one of the few guys that have fought bigger guys than Ngannou.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. You know? I enjoy that. That way they can't outspeed me. I can't outcondition me.
I mean, Akabono was what, 500 pounds?
What's that?
Akabono, how much did he weigh?
What's that?
How much did Akabono weigh?
Yeah, he was over five. He was, I think he was, right on 600 mark.
Fucking crazy. How do you think? What do you think? Prime Mark Coleman versus Ngannou?
That'd have been a great fight, you know, because they both talked strong, and when it came down to conditioning, which unfortunately for Coleman never works out for him, and Ngannou could punch a hole through a tank, you know. So once Mark got tired, it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be good for him. But if he could, you know, if he could defeat Ngannou before he got tired, then it'd be all Mark, obviously. But, you know, after the conditioning wore off, you know, it'd be all Ngannou.
Sean, what do you think? Don Fry versus Ngannou. Prime Don Fry versus Ngannou. Who wins?
I don't know. It'd be interesting, man, because I don't know. The problem with Ngannou is all he's got to do is hit you once, but he's never hit Don Fry. So, you know, I don't know how that would work out. I might break his hand on Fry's mustache and ruin everything. I do have an awesome story for you, man. Listen about Don. So I'm going to get my teeth cleaned the other day, man. I hadn't been in years because I have like OCD about brushing my teeth. So my teeth stay sparkly white, even with that lump. It's like I scrape my own teeth and like, I don't know. I'm like obsessed. So anyway, I go to the dentist and this girl, the tech or whatever, I don't know what they call them, the assistant is cleaning my teeth, and she ended up saying something about the UFC. I guess she knew that I'd fought in the UFC or recognized my name. She says, I don't really watch it. She goes, I used to watch it kind of in the older days. She goes, have you ever heard of that guy Don Fry? Like, I swear to God, I didn't mention Don. She says it. And I was like, yeah, I'm actually friends with him. She goes, no, like seriously. I was like, oh, really? I said, I'm actually, and she thought I was making it up. Like how I couldn't possibly know Don Fry, you know? And she's like, he was the best. His mustache was epic. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And like, she's like a younger girl. Like, I don't know. She's probably in her early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. And so she keeps talking about Don Fry. She goes, he had a fight with some Asian guy where they just stood there and punched each other 1,000 times in the face. And it was amazing. And she's like telling me all about it. I'm thinking somebody put her up to it, you know?
Yeah.
But she, no, she kept talking about that. It's the only fighter she could remember was BJ Penn and Don Fry were her two favorite fighters. And yeah, she was asking what Don was doing now and this and that. I don't know if she was interested maybe in hitting him up online, trying to make a love connection, but she was really impressed with Don. It cracked me up, man.
We have a naked Bill Dawes has joined us. That's great.
Hey, you got to bring the heat, man. Doesn't matter who's watching.
Now, Sean, Prime McCorkle versus Francis Ngannou. How did that go down?
I would try to tackle him, and if I didn't get him down, I'd be getting knocked out. I would definitely gas. We talk about Mark Coleman would gas against him possibly. If I didn't beat him in the first 90 seconds, I would be gassed out and he would knock me out. But he, you know, Stipe Miocic, he's a really underrated wrestler. He's a really good wrestler. I mean, I've trained with him. He is really, really, I think he wrestled in college. I know he played baseball in college, which doesn't really help, but I think he wrestled. But he, when I trained with Stipe, I was shocked at how good he was just everywhere. And, he had a hard time taking Ngannou down the second fight, you know. I wouldn't do real well with him. I don't think unless I got him down. If I got him down, I would submit him probably fairly quickly. But getting him down and it sounds a lot easier than it is. I thought I was just going to tackle Mark Hunt. Like I kept telling people, I'm so much bigger than him. I'll just run at him and tackle him. And then I got, you know, he missed me one time in the left hand, and I changed my mind on that. You know, one of his punches whiffed by my face and thought, dude, that would have knocked me out if that had hit me. You know? So,
you had like 12 wins by Kimura or something, right?
Yeah, that was my, I actually submitted the jiu-jitsu coach, a Brazilian guy, my very first day at his class. I submitted him with a Kimura, and I had never taken jiu-jitsu. I just saw guys do it on TV.
How? From what position?
I was actually on bottom, and he had taught that day. He always said for me to train to start on the bottom because he said on top, you're probably always going to be fine, you know, because you're so big and strong. So learn from your back, because if someone gets you down, that's where you'd be in trouble. So he showed the same thing I submitted Mark Hunt with, where you sit up and trap their arm and then put them in a Kimura from the bottom that day. And so the very first thing I did, he was going to show everybody he could submit the big, strong dude, because he was only about 180, 185 pounds. So he thought he was going to embarrass me the first class, like he embarrasses everybody. And so all I did was reach out and grab his wrist and sit up like he showed us and submit him within 25 seconds, you know what I mean, or whatever. The whole class was blown away because he said, that's the first time I've been submitted in the 12 years I've been in the United States. And I'm like, oh, you must be getting soft, man. But he never rolled with me again, ever. We never trained again, ever, the rest of the time I saw him.
No, I mean, would you let guys take you down so you could hit Kimura?
No, I would pull guard if it was a wrestler. Like instead of getting them taking me down and being in side control, I would pull guard if I had to, if they were a better wrestler than me. But I didn't mind. I never minded starting on bottom if I could be in full guard, like starting full guard. If they get in side control, I'd start getting in trouble then, you know, because you try to get an underhook and try to get to your, you know, hip and turn all fours, and then guys would go to my back, and I wasn't very good.
Would you pull guard on Ngannou?
If I was fighting him, absolutely, I'd probably crawl to him. Like, I'd probably, like, crawl, butt scoot, like a jiu-jitsu fighter to him. Or I would probably, from the last UFC, I would just probably kick him in the balls or poke him in the eye, because apparently all you have to do is do something illegal and you get a no contest. Like, I thought if you knee a guy in the head while he's down, that you get disqualified, but apparently not. In the new UFC, all you have to do is do something illegal, and it's a warning or a no contest.
All right, so I was going to stop off telling a story about comedy like I usually, but we'll get right into the fights. Because so this UFC, right? First of all, I felt so bad for Volkanovski because he took the fight on short notice, and there's something very likable about this guy. He's just a hardworking guy, doesn't talk shit, seems like a really... I remember one time there was a press conference and Colby Covington was calling everyone nerds and virgins. And he was sitting next to him and he's like, what's wrong with being a nerd or virgin? There's something very endearing about him, you know? Yeah. So when he lost to Islam and the way he lost, and then afterwards he was like, I had some personal problems and I got, I kind of felt like he needed to get out of the house. That's why he took the fight.
Like, yeah, what was that about, that speech he made?
Did you see that, Sean?
I didn't. I think he was probably just disappointed that the guy actually threw a calf kick and it hit him in his head. You know, that's probably what he was. That's probably why he was.
Hey, now. So. No, but he said something along the lines of like, I was at the gym. I wanted to, like, I was going to kill myself and then I got an opportunity to do a fight. It sounded really dark.
Yeah. Huh. It sounded very dark. Now, Don, you watched the fight with Sean Strickland, right? It was you and Strickland?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that experience like?
That was interesting. That was really interesting because he talked the whole time, you know? And talked like about 100 miles an hour. So, but he uses fuck for every other word. So he pretty much filled it in.
So he didn't let you commentate at all?
No, I was feeling like shit. My back, I'd done a lot of walking around, you know, the day before. And then that morning to get there, and my back is just killing me. I was vomiting because my back hurt so bad. So everybody thought I was suffering a hangover, but no, it was the back.
I've been there.
So as you were watching the fights, what did you think about what happened with Volkanovski and Islam?
You know, partner, I don't remember.
All right, so it was a pretty close fight at the beginning, and then Islam threw a head kick right on top of the head, and then the fight was up. Basically, he was wobbled, he went down, and then Islam hit him like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, and the fight was stopped. And it was crazy because Islam isn't known for his head kicks. You know, he's kind of known for his wrestling.
Well, that's what I was saying. He just threw a calf kick, and Volkanovski's so short, it hit him in the head.
That was not lost on us. Happened to be a great joke. Now, the fight, the co-main event, Usman versus Chimaev. I got to say, every time Chimaev steps up in opposition, he looks more and more beatable. Usman, I thought, obviously lost the first fight, but it's almost like when Chael Sonnen kept calling out Vitor Belfort, right? He kept calling him out. And this is like in Vitor's prime. And I go, Chael, are you fucking nuts? And he goes, no. He goes, look at his record past the first round. Anyone that gets out of the first round with Vitor beats him. And you're like,
oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, that's actually almost 99% accurate. So is this a case where if you could go 5 rounds, this guy gasses, does the control? I mean, doesn't have a gas tank. Because it seems like Gilbert Burns would have won that fight if it was 5 rounds. And Usman would have won that fight if it was 5 rounds. Obviously, he's no dummy. He's going to know this going into his next fight. But do you see Sean, Don, Bill, do you see like a bully here where if you could get past the first initial onslaught, you could beat him?
Sean? He reminds me, man, of Brock Lesnar in that way, that Lesnar's a monster for the first couple minutes or until you hit him. But I think that if Usman had more time to prepare, Usman was in shape, but he was also gassed after the first. And that's Usman's – I mean, he's even got better cardio than Colby Covington, which is unheard of. So Usman, if he's in shape, I think he beats him more than half of the time. I was really disappointed that – couple things that after the fight, Chimaev said all these, we got to come together. People are killing babies. It's terrible. And then he pledged his allegiance to the Palestinians and said he would go fight the Jews in Israel or whatever.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. If they've translated on Twitter, he says he's asking the Chechen leader. He said he'll go. He's willing to go kill, fight and die for the Palestinians.
Send his ass. Send his ass.
That's what I say. Yeah. Pack him up and go over there.
I support Israel. I support Israel. Make it fucking formal right now, you know, just so everybody knows. All the 5 people that watch this fucking podcast.
Yeah, we got a couple. We got 4,000 or 5,000 a week. Could be more. Could be a lot less.
Before I finish, I want to say also, I was really disappointed the second and third round. I told somebody, the only way you're going to see 2 UFC employees doing that much dry humping is if Dominic Cruz and Bruce Buffer get broke down in the Mojave Desert, like on their way to a to a UFC event, because that's all Chimaev did, man. He just laid on top of him for 2 rounds. It was that was embarrassing, the second and third round.
Embarrassing for who? Embarrassing for Usman, because he can't get out.
Well, he to be taking a fight on a week's notice like that, man, that's pretty I don't know. It's rough. It's a guy like that. But Chimaev was as gassed, if not more, than Usman, and a lot bigger. He was a lot bigger than Usman.
Do you think that both fighters weren't prepared well enough for these fights?
No, because Chimaev was ready. Chimaev was supposed to fight.
I mean Usman and Volkanovski. Do you think they were both a little underprepared, and that was the problem?
There's difference. There's a big difference between having a training camp, the cardio, and just your walking around cardio. And you can't possibly if you get 10 or 11 days notice, you can train for 2 or 3 days cardio wise, but it's not going to help you. You gotta fly all the way over there. You got media stuff. You're not going to get in any better shape the last week before a fight, you know, like it's really not going to help much. But some guys will say, well, I was training the whole time, but it's different training camp versus what's your maintenance daily training when you don't have a fight scheduled or completely different.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But I disagree. I think you can improve 10% in that last week, you know, maybe 5%, but I mean, it makes a hell of a difference, you know, just 5 or 10% makes a hell of a difference in a fight.
Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am. Okay. And Factor, which is America's number one ready to eat meal kit. Not number two, number one. It can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready to eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. Factor is fresh, never frozen. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code roasted50 at factormeals.com/roasted50 to get 50% off your first box. All right. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable. All right. No more biting. You got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day and check out Factor right now. And Bill, they were fighting at 185, which is not even Usman's weight class. But Sean, didn't he say like we all have to get along, Christians, Jews? Because during the speech, I'm like, he better include the Jews. Like, I thought he was gonna name every single, I thought right. He was gonna go through every single religion, culture, and leave the Jews out. But he said and Jewish people. But so when did he say the other thing?
In Russian, I actually have it on my Twitter.
What about the Buddhists?
Yeah, I knew when he was.
What about the Buddhists and the Hindu? Yeah.
Scientologists too. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know what
language speaking. You sued.
I didn't know what language he was speaking, but when he when the crowd erupted over there in Abu Dhabi for whatever he said in that language, I knew it was probably something pro-Palestine, I would guess, you know. Yeah. But they've got what they say, and several sources have said it, like verified sources have said that he was asking the guy, whoever they hang out with over there, the Chechen leader, saying he's willing to go fight right now, right. Give him a rifle, he'll go over there and fight against, you know, Israel. And you know, blah blah blah.
Fighting,
blah.
But they're not even fighting the Jews in Chechnya. So what? Why would he want to?
No, he was saying, yeah, he was asking, yeah, he was asking the Chechen guy for a rifle for permission to go fight in Palestine against the Jews.
Oh, if yeah. Send them.
If the translation fight. Is correct, but I don't know for sure it is, but that's what several sources said. So
he's fighting. So he's asking the Chechen leader permission to fight the Jews. Like, was this going to be him? Like, coming from Chechnya? Like, I don't.
I guess. I don't know. I'll tell you what. He better finish him early.
He's a Muslim.
Okay.
He's going to fight the Jews.
There's a large Muslim population in Chechnya.
No, there is a large Muslim population, but right now, you know, it's Israel and Palestine. Like Chechnya is like not involved.
Hey, Adam, it's universal. Come on, you know that.
I guess now, according to Marvin Vittori, he said he was not impressed. Sean Strickland said that was not title worthy of a shot. Do you think that was worthy of a title against Sean Strickland? Sean?
Left one.
Chimaev, you think Chimaev should get the title shot against Sean Strickland next or no? Based on that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think they definitely want Chimaev to be the champion, and I think they want Strickland out of there. I don't think Strickland wants to fight him. The other South African guy, what is it, Du Plessis or whatever? Yeah. He beat Robert Whittaker pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
And I think he was promised this shot, but when he didn't want to take the last minute, or not last minute, but he didn't want to fight Adesanya when they wanted to, I think he got pushed to the back of the line. You don't turn down fights in the UFC without paying for it. So I think
they want this guy. I mean, he's literally tweeting pictures of Netanyahu and Hitler side by side.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was insane. And they didn't tell him to take it down, or maybe they did. And he said, no, I'm not taking it down. And that was crazy. And the amount of anti-Semitic, you know, stuff that was coming on after that was bananas. It was bonkers. I mean, do you think the UFC wants this guy? I mean, the buildup will be incredible. I mean, the buildup for that fight, Sean Strickland versus Chimaev. I mean, it might be the most ugliest buildup in the history of fights, but yeah. It would be incredible. And yeah. I think that Strickland wins this fight. I think that's it's a winnable fight for Strickland because based on his cardio versus, I mean, he's got to survive. He's got to survive in the first. But Bill?
There are 2 billion Muslims in the world. So, I mean, I'm sure they're looking at that market. Here's the quote. It says, give me a rifle and let me go to Palestine. I haven't been raised to be here wearing shorts. I don't know what that means. I need permission to fight for Allah. I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about my Muslim brothers.
Oh, my God.
And on, yeah. May Allah strengthen you all. Be pleased with the Chechens. He keeps going back to Chechnya. Let him strengthen you. But, yeah, he asked, standing with you, fighting for you isn't that hard for the UFC. If Allah allows me to Wahali, give me a rifle, let me go to Palestine.
Oh, God.
You know, like it's so.
Give him a rifle. See how it works out.
Yeah, please.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm sure Hamas will take him.
Are they going to give him ammo too? Or just a rifle or just some ammo? You may want to look into that request.
I'll tell you what,
he better finish the fight earlier. He's going to gas out in that in that firefight.
Yeah.
He's going to let off the first couple of clips and be like, man, I need a break.
You're gonna unload everything. All right. So on another crazy note, so Johnny Walker versus Ankalaev, that was crazy. So they stopped the fight early. Johnny Walker, basically they said, "Do you know where you are?" And he said, "The desert, maybe." Maybe he didn't. I mean, Matt Brown said that he's the kind of guy that not know what country he's in anyway. Like, he just kind of makes sense. But it did seem like he was losing the fight. I hate to say it, but the look on his face seemed like he maybe wanted to get the win if it was going to be a disqualification and just move on. Because it seemed like after the fight was stopped and they waved it off, then he wanted to fight. Then he started pushing the ref and this and that. But he did look very confused prior to that. And people might get mad at me for saying that, but that's just the way it looked to me. Don, did you see that fight?
No.
Don, so you were hired actually, by... That you were hired by the UFC.
Actually, we didn't see the fights. They didn't have the fights for us.
But you were hired. They didn't have the fights. They flew you to Vegas to watch the fights with Sean Strickland, and you don't remember any of the fights.
Yeah. No, because I didn't see the fights.
What were you doing when the
fights? I did not see the fights.
What were you doing when the fights were on?
My back. I was laying in bed for my back.
Ah, you poor thing.
My back was so fucked up.
Did they have a bed for you there?
Yeah, they had a bed for me. Yeah. You know, I mean, typical. Well, you stay in New York, you know, so, you know, they gave me a broom closet, you know, so shit. I had a cot.
So you go to this place, they fly you in there. You're supposed to be in a room with Sean Strickland watching fights. So you're laying on in the bed, and Strickland's talking the whole time.
No. That was after the fights. A couple hours later, they had us do a show with TJ out there.
Got it.
In the parking lot. Yeah, in the parking lot of the arena. You know, for the PBR and
for the bullfighting.
So I was there. I got there for that. But like I said, I was vomiting. Strickland was doing. He carried the show. Like, you know,
wait, this sounds like a pretty amazing show, though. So they have you in a, so they have you in on a show to talk about fights that you didn't watch. Strong Strickland's talking, and you're throwing up. Do they have you vomiting? Are you at least?
Yeah, yeah.
While there's bullfighting going on in the arena.
What's that?
While there's bullfighting going on in the arena.
No, the bullfighting was several hours later. We were just there earlier, pre-fight, you know. But yeah, it was a mess. It was just a mess.
I don't know. It sounds like the greatest show of all time. Like, I honestly, if I put on my TV and I see Don Fry throwing up in the corner while Sean Strickland's yapping and a bunch of cowboys are walking around, I'm like,
sign me up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's made for show, made me seen TV.
Adam, you remember when I made you take a picture with that rodeo cowboy guy and I told him that you were his biggest fan and I thought he was Cowboy Cerrone?
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, Cowboy Cerrone, can he get a picture with you? And the guy just played along with it and took a picture with Adam. I still have it.
Oh my God. Now, Sean, what did you think of the Johnny Walker fight?
Like I said, man, I think he thought he was getting the win. He should have. I mean, if you get knee to the head while you're on the ground and it's intentional, I don't know how it's a no contest. I mean, anybody can just get out of a fight and get a no contest if you're losing, if that's what you want to do. But I think he thought he was getting the win and his bonus money. So when they asked him where he was, he acted confused. Although I did get asked one time if I knew where I was after a fight, and I said West Virginia, and I was in Australia. So I really thought I was in West Virginia. I was thrilled to not be in West Virginia when they told me I was in Australia, but it I'm sure he was a little confused. I don't think he should have had to continue fighting after he gets deep like out on the ground, even if it only affects you 10 or 15% or 20%. Why should he be penalized because the guy broke the rules, you know?
So was this after your so the Hulk fight?
After he punched me in the back of the head 10 times and I thought I was getting a DQ. Like I thought, well, at least I won because he punched me in the back of the head 10 times. And they were like, no, that's just DKO because it was in Australia. He was Australian. He would have beat me even if he didn't punch me in the back of the head. But
He was a good fighter. He was the most juiced up fighter I've ever seen in my life. So we got Sam Alvey just joined us. Sam Alvey, you're here with Don Fry, Sean McCorkle, and Bill Dawes. And we're here with Smiling Sam. How are you, Smiling Sam? your volume isn't working for some reason. Okay, it's more like now it's silent, Sam. Sam, can you?
This is the only time you'll ever see five white guys on TV together.
I did put a tweet out the other day. I don't know if you guys, you probably didn't see it, Smiling Sam was forced to change his name. He went to Brendan Schaub's comedy special, and now they call him and may never smile again, Sam Alvey.
I did not see that. Sam, is your volume working? Is it better? Yeah, nobody can hear him, right?
No, I think he's got to hit join the audio. Oh. It happens to me when I'm on my phone sometimes. He's got to choose to join the audio on Zoom.
Okay, all right. So we'll keep talking until...
He probably has to re-sign on.
I think you may have to re-sign on, Sam. All right, there was one fight that was amazing, by the way. So this guy, Mike Burdine, did you watch this fight? He fought a guy who won basically the Ultimate Fighter India. They call it like the road to the octagon or something. And it's in it's like the India. The
dirt road to the octagon.
I knew that was coming. So he fights this guy, Mike Burdine, who loses the first two rounds, right? Then in the third round, something happens to him. And he just starts starts barking at the guy. He starts going and starts punching himself, yelling and barking, rough, rough, which I wrote, like, now Style Bender's going to, like, fondle him, you know, because he fondled
right.
him. And then he comes back and he knocks the guy out. He fucking wins the fight after barking for, like, and they even said, like, imagine, like, you win the Ultimate Fighter India and your first fight is against a guy who just won't go down and starts barking at you. And Smiling Sam, did you watch that fight? The guy started barking.
Which fight was it?
The Mike Burdine. He started barking at the guy, the Indian guy. The guy. It was like the first.
No, I did not see that one.
Oh, he's getting the shipping out of him, and then he starts barking in the third round and comes back and wins. It was pretty. Now, Smiling Sam, I got to ask you, man. You are one of the craziest people I know. So I knew Sam when he was a fighter. He was doing stand-up comedy. He was obviously got some great wins in the UFC, wins over Rashad Evans, crazy wins, right? Mm-hmm. Then he moves to, I think, Tennessee. Am I thinking Tennessee or?
Yes, sir.
He opens up a farm. He already has like 7 kids. He adopts like 3 more kids. Right. So now he has 10 kids, right? He's got 10 kids, and every day he's on TikTok like 9 times a day making TikTok videos. He's doing karate combat. I don't even know the guy even knew karate. And he knocks out some guy in one round who's like a former UFC fighter, destroys him in karate combat, and now you have a food truck as well, right? A food truck.
Yeah. Food fight. That's our food truck. Deep dish pizza and whatever else you want to make.
So tell me about your life. How is all this happening? What's going on?
We were bored, and so we wanted to do everything all at once. And it feels like it at all moments.
I mean, how many kids do you have now?
So we've got 6 kids. We adopted one of them.
Now, how do you even know how to run a farm?
I don't. I have no idea. We're figuring it out as we go. Just like I don't know how to karate combat either. Figuring that out, I don't know how to TikTok, but I'm figuring that out. I mean, just throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
How many animals do you have?
We got a lot. We're getting close to 60 or 70. If you count all the chickens, we're probably at about 70.
Now, what are these animals?
All right, so we've got sheep, we've got goats, we've got horses, we've got a lot of chickens, we've got a couple turkeys, we have got geese, we have got ducks, we've got hairless cats, we've got sphinx cats, we've got a bunch of them, and then we've got a great dane, we're showing a Doberman Pinscher, and one little Cavalier King Charles.
Don, talk to me. Don, how is he doing this, Don Fry?
He's doing great, man. I think he's doing a great job. He's working his ass off. That's how he's doing it. Spending all his money, too, feeding them critters.
I'm doing that. They're all the animals will pay for themselves except horses. Horses do nothing but burn my money. So if any of you are thinking about getting horses, I'd avoid that.
Yeah, and the sheep, you make a lot of money because a lot of people want to buy them, right?
Yeah, the horses are good for the soul. They're good for the soul. Yeah.
I can agree with that. I love seeing them. I love saying I have them.
Now, are you selling the eggs and that, is that what's going on? Or are you breeding the animals? Like, how are you making money on the animals?
I've got 6 kids. We're eating the eggs. It's cutting my crochet. We have eggs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the Alvey household.
That's
you want to make some money on that, Sam? If you want to make some money on that horse, you can probably butcher it and sell it to Alistair Overeem.
Oh, God. Thank you.
Have you seen him? He stopped at the horse meat. He's not eating horse meat anymore.
Yeah. He's super thin now. Now, by the way, Bill, you'll appreciate this. His wife took like 3rd in America's Next Top Model.
No. My wife won America's Next Top Model.
She won it.
Sorry.
My bad. Yeah. His wife is like this hot redhead who somehow knows fighting. Like during she works his corner. During his fights, tells him what to do, and somehow it works. Like she told you what to do on like the karate fight.
Oh shit, she does it all. She took the fighting way more serious than I did. We've been together forever. Before I ever stepped foot in the cage, she was my first corner person because it was a free ticket. If I said she was, I wasn't training. I had no idea what I was doing. I just stepped in the cage. And said, all right, let's go at it. And it went okay. But she started taking it way more serious than I ever did. Like, she researched it. She knew about the UFC long before I did. She's the reason I moved out to California. She looked into gyms where I wanted to go, who I was going to train with. She did all of that, and I just followed her direction until
I did get offended by you recently, Sam, because you were breaking down a fight. You were breaking down a fight, and you said, yeah, the guy's got high school wrestling, which means nothing. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports, from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. And bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go. Like, that, I took that very personally. Does high school wrestling mean nothing now in fights? Nothing?
Yes. I mean, it's better than not having anything. But, like, I always joke in my teams that I could beat any high school wrestler. I am not a wrestler. If you all watch me, I'm good at not getting taken down, terrible at doing the takedowns. I could beat any high school wrestler.
No, you can't. Really? You think right now?
I think right now I could beat same weight class. We'll say what 220. That's a weight class, right?
You tell me, like, if Bo Nickel was in high school right now,
yeah,
you could beat him?
If he was in high school, yes, I could beat him. He's not. He's the greatest wrestler in the UFC. So I'm not.
All right, fine.
I could claim I could beat Dan Henderson wrestling in high school. He's just not in high school, so it doesn't count.
Now, you also, you fought Jake Paul, Logan and Jake back in the day, right? They came to your gym?
I sparred with Logan. Yeah, they brought me in to spar. And I was supposed to spar Jake, too, but he saw me spar Logan, and he wouldn't spar with me.
And you said Logan was terrible.
I didn't say that. He said he was very athletic. He was very athletic. He was thrown with everything he had. That's how you
called him terrible.
No, he was... There was a certain athleticism to him, and it was he. This was before he had ever boxed. He was getting ready to box, I think, KSI for the first time, and so they brought me in to help with it for a day. It was I hurt him a little bit. I didn't mean to. I swear I did. I was trying to be a good punching bag for him.
No, yeah. So basically, you said you hurt him, and then they kicked you out. They said, "All right, we're done with Sam Alvey." So is that
they just never called me back. Yeah,
got it. All right.
Yeah.
I got it. Now, how do you have time for all this shit, though? For real, like, how do you have time for 60 pets or farm, and then also training for fights and running a food truck and doing TikTok and being a father of six?
To be honest, I have no idea. I don't know how I do it. You got me. I make it work. I make it work. I'm working on my YouTube page too. Like that one, I'm just about to get monetized on YouTube. And that's the hard one. YouTube's the one that takes like actual time to sit down, film, edit, do all that. YouTube's tough, but I'm figuring that out too.
It is a pain in the ass. I thought I would. I did the same thing. I'm still trying to get mine monetized. I thought, oh, this will be easy. I'll just film videos and do this or that. I'm in like 20 hours a week doing it. It's ridiculous, you know. It's not easy, man.
Yeah, YouTube's difficult. So I've got like 300 hours till I monetize. So I'm real close to doing it, but it's been hard getting there. TikTok's easy because I'm a fighter. I just say whatever, you know. I drive in my car and I'll make one real quick and I'll post that. That works pretty easily for me.
Are you getting monetized on TikTok?
Yeah, I make money on TikTok. Not a bunch of money. If I were to spend a little more time on my product, I think I could do it, but
I love your TikTok, but I do wonder if your wife is like, enough with the fucking TikTok. You have chores to do, because I
need her to get on TikTok. Oh, being a pretty girl is way easier to make money on TikTok than being me.
Don Fry, you have any questions for Smiling Sam Alvey?
How much money do you spend a month on toothpicks?
On toothpicks?
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste. Big dummy.
I need a sponsorship. I need someone Aquafina to reach out to me. So if you guys know Crest or Aquafina or had Arm & Hammer, put in a good word.
Aquafina bottled water. I think you mean
Aquafresh.
Yeah.
Aquafresh, that's the one. Well, now that we have an expert on the fights this week, so who wins this week, Ngannou or Tyson Fury, and how?
I've been saying from day one, Ngannou's going to get it done. And it's the easiest. It's the easiest pick in the world because if I'm wrong, I'm supposed to be wrong. But if I'm right, I get to tell everyone I told you so.
That's a good point.
He's got a puncher shot. It's usually not the safe one to bet on, but he punches really hard. You also see Tyson Fury. He's already signed up for his next fight in December or early January. He's looking past Ngannou. I don't think he's ever fought anyone as athletic as Ngannou. And there's that chance Ngannou just is a little too fast. Just lands that one punch. And it really is. He's not going to land a combo. He's going to land a big punch if he lands anything at all.
Don, who wins this fight, Don, this Saturday?
I go with Tyson Fury. He's got too much experience, you know, and he's got those big old long arms, you know, to keep Francis at a distance.
It's a smart pick.
Don?
Yeah, I think he'll smother him to death for the first three or four rounds and then gas him out. And but if he trades with him or gets cute with him in the first two rounds, Ngannou can knock him out if he can connect, man. Deontay Wilder's not a good boxer comparatively, and Deontay Wilder put him on the floor. And Ngannou hits at least as hard as Wilder, if not more. You know, they're using, I guess, 10-ounce gloves. I'm surprised that Fury didn't want bigger gloves than that, because 10 ounces is a bit, like, I think as small as you can get in pro boxing, which is still not a 4-ounce glove. But I'm hoping to God Ngannou wins, man. But they said either way, Ngannou's making $10 million and Fury's making $60 million is what I read. So I don't know if that's true or not, but beats the hell out of UFC money either way.
Bill?
Yeah. I just love the idea of a UFC fighter beating a boxer, because it's been the other way around.
Yeah,
too much with these fucking Jake Pauls, and, you know, too many UFC fighters getting outboxed. I would love to see a fighter. I'd bet money on Ngannou. Do I think he's going to win? How tall is Ngannou, by the way? Is he like 6'2", or?
He's 6'4", 6'5".
Oh, he is? Okay. All right. Yeah,
big monster, I'll tell you.
I'd put my money on Ngannou. Because doesn't Ngannou have like the hardest punch in the UFC, too?
Ever recorded?
By anybody, I think, ever. Yeah,
by any boxer ever,
any fighter ever that's done any of any sport, they say he hits harder than anyone has ever hit that test anyway. So
I'm kind of with Sean. I have the same pick as Sean. Now, Sam, you said you got paid more for karate combat you did for the UFC, like for your earlier fights.
No, what I said was I made more in the karate combat debut than I did in my UFC debut. I lost my UFC debut and I got a knockout in the karate combat debut. So I made, $8,000 with UFC. I made $15,000 with Karate Combat.
Got it. Oh, yeah, because it was taken out of context, right? It was like,
Everyone said, he makes this. That's no. What I said was the truth. It was just, you just had to listen to it first.
And then you had GSP commenting, right?
Yeah. I got to meet GSP for the first time. He's a lot smaller than I would have thought. Super nice guy, but a lot smaller than I thought.
Yeah. All right. So this week in the UFC, we got Jalton Almeida, who's 19-2, hasn't lost since 2018. He's on a killer winning streak against Derek Lewis, who's lost three of his last four, but his last fight, he threw a flying knee and landed, remember? And Lewis is the most frustrating guy because he'll lose like six in a row, but then he'll win in such a great fashion that you forget that he lost the six in a row, so that you believe in him again. You're like, oh, this is the greatest, and then he loses another five in a row. So the fight is in Brazil. I think Almeida wins this one. I mean, he has one loss to a split decision. His last loss was 2017. He got knocked out. I like Derek Lewis, but unfortunately, he's his own worst enemy. And I think his contract was on the line that last fight. So he won. I think he fought, and I think he signed another 9-fight win contract. Whatever. Sam, who do you like in this fight?
I'm picking against Derek Lewis. I love him. He's got the puncher shot, but he's not the athlete that Ngannou is. So I'm picking against him.
Sean?
Yeah, man. I hope he wins. I hope Derek Lewis does, but I don't think I think his time's passed, man. He doesn't seem like he takes it serious. He never seemed like he took it serious, but he for sure isn't taking it serious now. They were going to cut him or let him release him after his last fight, but he had that crazy knee, so they decided to bring him back. Plus, they were afraid he was going to go make money boxing or doing something else, so they didn't want that. They had to keep him broke. So I do think it's funny, you guys were saying earlier, George Masvidal's bare knuckle MMA and his regular MMA are paying prelim guys more than most of the guys are making in the UFC. Wow. It's the craziest. I know their matchmaker and their co-promoter really well, and he'll put on a Facebook, I've got a slot on the preliminary card, pays 15 and 15, and it'll be the third fight of the night for bare knuckle MMA. And I'm like, dude, 15 and 15, you got to win like six fights in UFC to get to that level, you know?
That's
so
crazy.
Craziness, man. It's crazy what the UFC is making versus what they're paying still. So,
well, Mike Perry has a new promotion he's coming out with, just so everyone knows. It just got announced. I'm not kidding. Mike Perry, it's called Platinum MMA or Platinum Pit Fights. And he says this will be a new combat sport, different rule set compared to any other. We will treat the athletes with the respect they deserve. I will compete in this league and we will put on the most exciting, biggest matchups possible. Platinum Pit Fights. Wait until you hear the rule set. Brought to you by Can Pie Pandas, Ice Bags, and the Overdogs podcast, and Dana Black. I don't know who Dana Black is.
Doesn't sound like a real name.
I'm surprised that Mike Perry didn't say, wait until you hear the N-word, because that's usually comes out of his mouth at some point during a...
What do you think the rule set is? I mean, fight to the death? Like what?
This is Rochambeau. Bare-knuckle Rochambeau.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll probably be required to poke your opponent in the eyes and hit him in the balls. So that would be my guess. Like if you don't try at least once a fight to poke him in the eye or something, then you
the rule says that white people have to wear a hood over them. They have to wear like a blanket.
I mean, why do I feel like you get points for like dick twisting or something, or like you could fuck the guy in the ass?
I'm in.
The good news is if a white people have to wear a hood to compete, Don's already got his uniform to compete. Right, so
this podcast is going in a wrong direction. Sam, what do you think these rule sets are, Sam Alvey?
Shoot, it's got to be bare knuckle MMA, but if it's in a pit, is that karate combat style? Bare knuckle MMA in a pit? I love the pit. I do. I think that's great. Man. Maybe that's it.
Well, Don Fry got a bone. He just left. Don Fry just left. You don't know where Don.
He met his pit fighting. He got excited.
Going to look for his hood. He was going to hear you. For his debut.
Yeah, I guess I can see if it's going to fit. Yeah.
I mean, Don has to be a commentator for this, right? For the Mike Perry, Barrett, whatever, pit fighting. I mean, I can't think of anyone more perfect.
Wait, why hasn't there been pit fighting yet? How come there hasn't been fighting pit? There should be.
Well, there is. Karate combat.
So, you do it in a pit?
Yes, it's really cool.
Huh.
Now, how do you train for the pit? Do you like dig a ditch in your backyard or something? Or
honestly, I haven't trained for the pit. I just trained to fight, and I figured the pit out. I accepted the fight, and a day later, no, I broke my foot. A day later, I accepted the fight. If you watch me in the karate combat, I slide down the side because I didn't think my foot would hold up going down the angle.
Oh,
he hurt himself climbing into the pit. That's
terrible. I thought I was going to. I sat on my butt and slid into the pit.
Is it like a dirt pit?
No. It's a fairly professional looking pit.
Is Don masturbating?
As far as pits go, it's fairly professional.
It is the nicest pit you could have ever wished to have seen.
I heard dirt pit and here. I think he masturbated right to the dirt pit part.
Do your cornermen like lower a bucket of your water to you and be like, it puts the lotion on awesome. Its skin as you're trying to get
drinking around? That's great.
Wasn't blood sport in a pit? Wasn't
rub
that
the lotion? Rub the lotion on his skin.
The kumite.
Kumite. Or what was it? Kickbox? What was the one in the pit?
There was that was blood sport. Blood sport wasn't in a pit, but blood sport's the kumite, which karate combat does too.
Remember they had Yama pit fighting and it was in some sort of thing where the edges slid down and people kept like falling and getting pinned in the Yama cage or whatever. It was something crazy, man. Remember they had angled edges.
Don, you were in a pit one time in a Yama cage?
No, I was in the Yamaka cage.
You were in the Yamaka cage?
He was wearing a Yamaka.
You're married to a Jewish woman?
Dude, so Don fought the number one.
And then the Yama, yeah,
So Dom fought the number one kickboxer of all time, right? After Pride, they offered him a contract, and he said he never threw a kick before in his life. Like, he still. So I go, Don, how did you prepare for the fight? He goes, I took 6 oxys. Like, what was the guy's name you fought in K1?
Jerome LeBanner.
Yeah,
he's good like Lord. That is insanity.
Isn't that guy like the Michael Jordan of kickboxing or something?
He was, yeah. That would be the equivalent of like playing LeBron James one-on-one if you didn't know how to dribble. So that would be it was like when I think Tom Erickson boxed Shannon Briggs one time, or kickboxed Shannon Briggs and almost beat him. He kicked him a couple times and was gonna beat him, and then Shannon Briggs threw a wild right hand and blasted him. But that was funny. That's crazy. Don going in there, man. That's some balls going in a kickboxing match with Jerome LeBanner.
How's that go?
Fight. His first kickboxing.
That was very smart. No.
How'd it go?
It went real bad for me. Real good for him. Real good for my agents too. Yeah, my fucking agents made a lot of money. They made a lot more money when I fought Shamrock.
How many perks do you take for that fight?
I fought Shamrock. Which one?
The LeBanner fight. How many perks do you take?
5 or 6. Yeah. I was.
Now, do you take it like an hour before, or like?
I don't agree.
You take it like walking to the.
It took about a half hour before. Well, I was getting ready to warm up, you know, right before you go to the warm up stage, you know. And you leave the locker room, then you go over to the warm-up stage. And I took it right before that. And then I don't remember. I don't remember walking out, you know, to the cage. Don't remember. You know, I didn't wake up for a half hour after the fight, you know.
But
I didn't come to.
Now, is your thought being that you took 6 perks, and that way, when the guy kicks you, it won't hurt because you're on painkillers, or because you were in so much pain?
It's because just so I can walk out there, you know, it's a long walk, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah, dude, when your back hurts, I had my very last fight, I got beat up by a guy that I beat in 43 seconds at Bellator. But I knew I shouldn't be fighting. My back, you saw, Adam, how bad my back was, because I saw you shortly before that. I could barely walk. And so I had been taking, at that point, I'd been on pain management, taking Percocet for like 5 months or 6 months. I hadn't been off of it in 6 months, and I'd never taken it before. So I didn't even know that withdrawals were a thing, right? Like, I didn't know that was even a thing. So I stopped taking them. I couldn't train on them or do anything. I couldn't train anyway because I was hurting, but I would throw up when I would try to train on them. It upset my stomach. So I stopped taking them the day before the fight, and then I get the sickest I've ever been for the 24 hours before the fight. And I thought I was sick. Like, I thought I got the flu or something. Like, man, this is the sickest I've ever been. I didn't realize it was withdrawals, you know, or whatever. Cause I was like, dude, I've never felt like this.
So
I was puking before the fight, having diarrhea, just shivering, shaking. I was like, this is the worst. So I went out and got beat up real quick. And then after the fight, of course, I take Percocet. And then all of a sudden I wasn't sick anymore. Like, I, like 20 minutes later, I was like, that's weird. I feel completely better. And then my corner man, who was a former drug addict, says, I meant to tell you, I thought you were probably having withdrawals. And I was like, dude, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I wasn't a drug addict. I didn't know that withdrawals were a thing. I'd only been on them for a couple months. You know, like, I didn't know that.
Wow.
I
just
thought I was sick. Yeah, I thought I was sick. So I was like, what a great time to get this sick, you know? So,
I
fight Japan there against some shithead Japanese guy named Nagao. And Bill Goldberg and Bill Goldberg and Rocco Ciottoli, my hands trainer, my ex-wife found my bottle of bikes and my bottle of tequila, and she told them, and they took it from me, you know, and they took it from me the night before, and then I went through withdrawals, didn't get any sleep, you know.
Oh,
I
was awake
the whole night. I was fucking, I had to get up at 7 o'clock to, do an interview with the TV, you know, shit, and it was okay because I was already awake. But yeah, I mean, I didn't sleep for like 2 days, and then I went. Then I started having the withdrawals, you know, during the fight, you know.
And Bill, like, so Don.
So I got beat by a piece of shit that I could destroy, you know.
So yeah. So Bill, so Sean, we went to a diner and he was fighting 2 days later and he couldn't walk from the car to the diner. It was like 6 feet.
Oh my God.
And I had to like, he had to use me as like a, as his like stool, basically as his like cane, my head. And he can't, it took him about 45 minutes to walk to the diner. And I'm like, dude, you can't fight, man.
Yeah.
Walk. And he's like, no, dude, this guy's a, this, trust me, all I got to do is land a punch. I'm like, bro, you can't. I couldn't believe it. I was.
My problem was Roy Jones Jr. had personally asked me to fight at his show. It caught me off guard when I was in Florida and met him. And I was like, yeah, I'll fight at one of your shows. That's cool. And I'm thinking I'll just never bring it up again. You know what I mean? And so then he has his guy start calling me, hey, Roy, why don't you fight his next show? I was like, oh, man, you know, like my back's been really sore. Well, you can pick any opponent you want. And I'm like, I don't know, man, I've been really sore. What about that Richard White guy? And I was like, I beat him in like 30 seconds. We don't care. We just want you on the card. And of course, the Richard White, the first time I fought him, he came in and fat and out of shape at 275 pounds. He came in with abs, svelte 225 for my fight when I was hurt. And he told me before the fight, he goes, yeah, they told me I'd never fight again if I don't win this fight. That's what my trainer told me. He's going to throw me out of gym. So I just spent 14 weeks of the hardest training camp ever, moved to Miami and went full time and this and that. I was like, cool, because I haven't trained even one day in 2 years, you know, or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But then Roy Jones Jr. was a dick, like he was a dick to me after. So like they say, never meet your heroes, you know. So it like he was a dick since then to me. So I was like, here I am fighting at his show because he asked me, and I didn't want to say no to him, you know. Like right. I was like, sure. And then he kind of cornered me into it. Plus, I thought I would figure it out. It was 3 months away. I was like, well, my back will get better by then. I'll go to the chiropractor, you know. And I never did figure it out. But yeah, that
we went to an edible place. Went to an edible place. He spent about $2,000 on edibles. Like
that's about right.
It was crazy. Well,
I was looking for anything that would help my back, and it's so funny. They let me buy it on Adam's license. They were like, oh, sure, just come in, you know what I mean, whatever. And because I told them, they said, we can't sell unless you have a license. I said, I'm going to spend like a lot of money. And they were like, well, how much? I said, a lot. And they were like, okay, come in.
He went to my middle school wrestling practice and couldn't do the warm-ups with the kids. He was laying down in the corner. People were like, who's that weird fucking 7'3" guy?
With a really bad back. Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, it was crazy. Man, Don, that's a really cute dog, but you look just like him or her. So by the way, we got also this Saturday, Gabriel Bonfim, who's 15-0, fighting Nicholas Dalby, who's a great fighter, but he left the UFC. He had mental problems, he had depression, he worked his way back, he's been winning some split decisions. And now they're putting up against a 15-0 guy in Brazil. Man, I hope.
Of course.
I hope. But like, oh God, that's a tough
one. I'm trying to think why I know that name. Is the Nicholas Dalby famous for something else? Because that.
No, him and Darren Till had a great fight. They had a draw years ago. Back when, and he's just the guy's a nice guy. Also, Vince Bichel is fighting. Our boy Vince, who used to come on the podcast all the time. I think Vince is like 60 years old right now, but I'm super happy for him. He moved to Colorado. He trains out there. He said he wanted to fight Gavin Newsom when he was here. He hates Gavin Newsom.
Who doesn't want to fight Gavin Newsom?
So he's fighting Bonfim's brother, who has a win over Terrence McKinney in like a minute, but he lost his last fight against Benoit Saint Denis. I hope Vince wins. Vince is probably the fight's at 55. Vince is probably going to come into this fight around 190, which is why people said they didn't want to, nobody wanted to fight him because he's so big. I really hope Vince wins. I like Vince a lot. And then Angela Hill's on the card, who's probably the best 15-13 fighter in the history of the fight. Like she
that's
has like
crazy. That's her record.
She's yeah, like nine split is. Decisions. Like nine of those 13 losses could have went her way.
Dude, I have lost money on her so many times on bad decisions. Like I would always bet on her because she's really tough, man. And I probably lost 6 or 7 fights that they had decisions on and they would have her lose that I couldn't believe. Like I lost bets on it.
I watched her walk out to a fight one time and her husband's her trainer. They used to live in the gym. They used to sleep in the gym. They were like homeless. And she was like an art major who did Thai kickboxing and then became a fighter. So anyway, so she's walking out in Vegas and someone next to me who I don't know is like, you're gonna lose, and her husband gave him the middle finger like as they were walking. I'm like, That's that great. That's badass. I don't know where Sam Alvey went, but I'm sure he just got disconnected. Now
probably adopted a kid.
Now John Jones pulled out of his fight. People paid
what?
Some people paid $15,000 for this ticket at Madison Square Garden.
No fucking way.
Yeah, there's receipts for like 12 grand, 10 grand.
Oh fuck.
He tore.
You heard how the UFC fixed it though, right? They moved the co-main event up to the main event. Like, oh, that'll do it. Okay, that's a
move. That's a
hell of a move. But no, I guess he tore his pectoral muscle. Like they say, yeah. It's on film. They say he's got to have surgery. But I guarantee you, he's glad to be out of the USADA pool, man. Like I guarantee you, he jumped out of that pool faster than he jumped out of his car when he hit that pregnant lady. Like I guarantee you, he was out of that USADA pool the minute he had to have surgery. Take me out, I'm good.
I mean, poor Stipe, because Stipe is not young, and I feel like he only had a couple of really good fights left in him. And if he would have beat John Jones, that would have been huge for him.
Huge.
Now there's all these conspiracies that like he tore his pectoral muscle because that was what he was taking with the juice that it's easy to tear if you're on certain types of steroids. I don't know anything about that. Sean, is that true?
Yeah, when you're if you're on the right kind or the wrong kind, I guess, your muscles get too strong for your tendons to be able to handle and like too explosive. And because your tendon strength doesn't increase as much as your muscle strength. So that's why you'll have a lot of guys that are like bodybuilders that can curl 185 pounds, but their tendons can't take it. So your tendon rips, but your muscle doesn't. And it also like Winstrol and some of the ones like that can dry out your tendons too. So they're not as lubricated and not as flexible. So I don't know that that's what happened. I think maybe John Jones just wants to wait till Stipe's 50 to actually fight. It's like John Jones didn't want to fight. He didn't want to fight Ngannou. Like I want $20 million telling Ngannou signs with PFL. And he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. You know, whatever, after sitting out for 3 years. Yeah, he's running from me, but he's pulled the Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather fought Pacquiao when Pacquiao was 62. Yeah. Wouldn't do it before. he wants to wait till Stipe hits 50. I think.
Sam, what are your thoughts about John Jones pulling out of this fight?
Yeah, I hope he's all right. I don't know what whether he's on something now, that he was on something will lead to a lot of weaknesses as well. And it was a matter of time that happened. Really, if you look at the shot where he hurt himself, it was a terrible shot. He was on his knees. I mean, high school wrestling would have seen a better shot than that.
Sam Alvey.
So at that point, Sam Alvey could have beat John Jones if he were challenged.
That's what I need for him. I need to fight him when he is down an arm. Then I'll have a shot.
Now, the craziest part is that every time John Jones gets hurt, people start tweeting to the other John Jones. So there's a guy named John Jones who's like this white nerdy guy with a mustache who's a video game, like, and he's hilarious. He's like the most nerdiest guy you'll ever see in your life, right? And he got like a handlebar mustache, and he responds as if he's really the John Jones. So every single time somebody writes like, John Jones, you know, you talk like a lifelong winner, but all you got is a tiny wiener. Now drop the belt and ride off to the deepest pits of hell. So then he writes like, then John Jones writes, how do you ride off into a pit? I mean, you've got as much pit knowledge as the next guy, but isn't that just falling in, right?
I think you go to Sam Alvey's house and get a horse and then go down and train in one of his pits in it.
Yeah, it's true.
Then somebody else writes, you're softer than cotton candy, dude. A real fighter would still show up with that injury and compete. And then John Jones writes, the fake John Jones, he goes, I'm sorry I threw out my arm, man. I didn't think the full consequences of getting a Fleshlight sponsorship. I guess that's why they told me to open the packages after the fight.
Oh, I love that, man.
Dude, every time John Jones is something stupid, everyone just attacks this fucking guy. What's up, people? Listen, today we're here with a sponsor for your bouncing bundle of joy. No, I'm not talking about a baby, although that's adorable. We're talking about your baby makers. Boom. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. But just like babies, your delicate little guys have sensible skin. Trust me. And they deserve products not only skin safe, but also with safe ingredients. That's where Manscaped's Platinum Package comes in. From razors to shower care, this package goes above the gold standard for your body hair. So treat your beautiful boys to the world's finest toys at manscaped.com. And use the code MMA ROASTED for 20% off plus free shipping. Listen, Manscaped, I used to have the hairiest nuts. It was rough. I mean, girls would go down there, they would choke. Okay. I one time I had to go to the hospital. It was just nothing worse than, you know, in the middle of a BJ, having a girl having to like go up and go whoa, 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 and start ripping out hair. It's not good. It's bad. It happens to the best of us. Okay. Some of you friends might be Armenian or Italian or just hairier people. All right. Maybe not. But the Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is a one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. And that's you. Okay. They designed this package to allow you to fully align your entire hygiene routine with elite products. We're all about elite. Okay. The Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer and Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin safe technology to protect your delicate parts and holes. Both are waterproof. You can shave with less mess. Trust me, you don't want nose hairs and ear hairs. It's not good. Okay. You want to get laid, you want to have fun, you want to relax, check it out. Go to the Platinum Package 4.0. They cover all bases from head to toe and hair to ball fro. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code MMA Roasted at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MMA Roasted. Use the Platinum Package because the gold standard is no longer good enough. So check it out and enjoy everything. He was on SportsCenter one time. He did an interview on SportsCenter.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. It was.
They thought they had the real one.
Yeah, man, John Jones. It's a shame because he's so good, and you know, every fight you're like, this might be the fight. He looks old. He gets old, but he's just so good. I think he would have beaten Stipe. I think, but you never know. I mean, who do you think would have won that fight, Sam?
I think Jones would have won easy. I just made a YouTube video about how I don't think Jones is ever going to fight again. If he fights, he's going to have to fight either Aspinall or Sergey. Yeah. And I don't think he wants to fight either of those guys. Why would he? Those guys are huge and in their prime. They'll be bigger than him and as long as him. And both of them are good at jiu-jitsu. I think his last fight was going to be against Stipe, where he was going to be bigger than Stipe.
Don, who do you think would have won that fight?
I went with Stipe because, Stipe, like you said, he's pretty much at the last there at the end, and he traded extra hard, and he knows, you know, it's his last go. So, you know, and I think he's stronger. He's a better boxer, you know, not as agile. No way, you know, no fucking way. But I think he's a better wrestler. He's a better wrestler than people give him credit for.
Now, Don, when you were a fireman, did you have to put out a lot of fires or no?
Yeah, whenever they called.
How long were you a fireman for?
5 or 6 years, I think.
Oh wow! Yeah, they kicked him out, Bill, for joining the UFC.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Stipe's a fireman too, you said, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. But they told Don it was bad for their brand.
Oh God, so dumb.
Yeah, that was back when that piece of shit Sandra McCain was going around the country trying to shut it down, you know.
It's human cockfighting.
We were at Yeah, which that idiot knew nothing about because I started training at his church. There in Phoenix, you know, and he said, we don't have cockfighting in Arizona when there's signs all over on the old town of Douglas, cockfights Friday night, you know, 7 p.m., you know.
In McCain's defense, Senator McCain is the only reason that Bruce Buffer started working for the UFC because he heard there was going to be human cockfighting going on.
Wow. Really funny. Now, Don, did you ever have any fights with the other firemen?
No. We'd roll around, goof off, roll around. Jamie Iwanski and Jeff Spencer, you know, they got all cocky one night, you know, and they both jumped me. And I put them on the, I held them both down, and tickled them.
No, when I was in New York, they used to have boxing matches where they had the police department versus the fire department, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that.
And right, it was, right. And they always ended up in rumbles between the crowd. Like it would get, it was exactly what you did not want. It was supposed to be this like happy, joyous event. And it was, they always get arrested. Like the cops got arrested, the other cops, the firemen got arrested. Did you ever have, did you ever compete one of those, Don, or no?
No, never did that.
Okay. Everyone's got to get in and try not to be too loud, please.
And be quiet, you little bastards.
Don, don't
I'm going to come in. I'm going to rip your ears off. Oh,
okay. Now, now, we were talking about Jake Shields last time because some of his anti-Semitic tweets, people got mad. Some people defended him. People got mad. However, what somebody that got very upset is JT Money Taylor. Who I didn't even know. I didn't even know was Jewish, but he is Jewish.
And, is he?
Yes, and he tweeted out
money.
Yeah, money. You know. To that.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that kind of gave it away.
But, too smart.
So he said, "Dear." So he tweeted out, "Game bred fighter Masvidal, do the right thing for America, for Israel. We fight against this neo-Nazi, an old friend." But kill my people, raise a nation. This is the fight I want. Game bred, real fight for righteousness, for peace, not hate. Who wins this fight, JT Money or Jake Shields? Smiling Sam, you've trained with both of them, right?
Yeah, I've never trained with Shields, but Money and I are good buddies. I'm taking Money all day. They're both, I mean, they're both the wrestlers, but Jesse is a different level of strong. Like, you don't understand how he only takes bad shots and he gets all of them. He only takes shots from 10 feet away and he finds a way to take everyone down. And so it'd be a battle of wrestling. And I don't think Jake Shields is a better wrestler than Jesse.
Well, Jake has got to be like 46 by now or something.
I mean, JT's no
Jesse's got to be like 46.
Yeah, they're both old. JT Money had the worst luck. He was the guy, he won the Ultimate Fighter, he got to the finals. He got kicked out for kicking out a limousine, right? He got drunk and kicked out a limo. So they threw him off the show, right? Then he does fights everywhere, like Bulgaria, Russia, 2 days notice, barnyard fights, whatever he does. He finally gets back in the UFC. They have like an Ultimate Fighter, second chances. He wins that. And then he actually beats James Krause. He wins the Ultimate Fighter and then tests positive for steroids and gets thrown out again. Like,
oh, shit.
This dude's like,
he didn't test positive during a fight. He only tested positive when he didn't have a competition.
Oh, okay.
So he never, I don't know that he was clean during the fight, but he didn't test positive during the fight. It was just normal training.
He's got the John Jones syndrome, huh?
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed when he won the Ultimate Fighter because I heard James Krause had put 10 grand that he wouldn't win. So, Krause put 10 grand against himself. So that's what I knew. I didn't know that Jesse Taylor was now JT Money. I typed in JT Money and it was a rapper. So I was like, I thought that was the guy you were talking about. And I was like, I'm surprised he's Jewish. Doesn't Jesse Taylor, no offense, but doesn't he look kind of like John McCarthy if he was on crack? Like, am I crazy?
No, he's not. Jesse's a great fighter.
No offense.
No, I mean, but like, dude, I don't know if you can see this. There's a picture. The first picture that came up, I didn't even realize it was Jesse. It looked like John McCarthy. Anyway.
So Dylan Danis is saying he's going to fight for the UFC. I'm not really sure how. And then he tweeted out during the fight that Islam and Khabib lost their virginity to the same goat. That's.
I mean, you gotta like that. That's a pretty good troll.
Milo and Sam bought that goat shortly.
How's the
there?
Goat feel about that?
That's why Sam got offended. He left because you made fun of goat fucking. How dare you?
Well, maybe also his kids are in the car, so maybe he probably. Before I read that, I just I remembered his kids were in the car. Do you think Dylan to the UFC side, Dylan Danis? I mean, for like a contender fight, maybe he is 3-0 in Bellator. What do you think?
Yes, his opponents have a combined record of 2-70. I think that he fought at Bellator. They were so good, he couldn't even remember their name. Ariel Helwani asked him on his show, he goes, "Who did you fight last?" And Dylan Danis said, "I can't remember his name." Like, that's like how bad it was. But I've seen Dylan so far, I've seen Dylan Danis not fight in Bellator, not fight when he fought Logan Paul, and not grapple when he went up against Gordon Ryan. Like, all he did was just use the Shab shutdown and refuse to grapple. So, I haven't seen him do anything but try to fight Khabib after a fight, you know, in the crowd. So I don't know what – if the UFC signs him, I'll be shocked, absolutely shocked.
Dana White didn't say no. They asked him, and he said, "I haven't thought about it," which means he's thought about it. Alvy, where should Dylan Danis go from here?
He should continue fighting YouTubers. The guy's a joke. He has burnt every bridge, and as a fan, I don't want to watch him do anything. He's the only guy alive that I would prefer to see a Paul brother beat up. he should keep fighting YouTubers. That's a good place for him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are you friends with him, Bill?
I'm Dylan Danis. No, but of course, everyone I'm friends with hates him with a fiery passion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jake Shields being one of them as well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also we got to talk about so John Jones pulled out. We talked about that. We talked about I'll tell you, the Aspinall fight's going to be good against Pavlovich. That's a good fight. That's actually a really good fight. I don't know who wins that fight. Because they're both – you're right. They're both in their prime. You got – Sergey's got better kickboxing. Tom's got better jiu-jitsu. They both have power. I think Sergey wins based on level of competition, right? But that's a good fight. That's actually a really good fight. Also UFC, they got Bud Light back as a sponsor, right? So they got $100 million for Bud Light.
Yeah,
go girl.
Dana White.
Yeah, but it's not about the money. It's not about the money at all.
No, not at all.
He was saying they give a lot of money to veterans and taking care of veterans and stuff. Do you think they should hire that guy, Dylan Movlani, as a ring girl? I mean, would that be the funniest? Like, how? Come on. Like,
that would be, fun. Be the best. Be funny.
That would be hilarious.
He should sue. Dylan Movlani should sue to be a ring girl. Yes. That would be fucking funnier than shit.
I mean, Don, you would laugh, right? I mean, you would laugh pretty hard.
Go ahead.
I would laugh while I vomit. Yeah.
Oh my god,
dude! If like, imagine he came out of the ring girl. I don't know if Dylan still has a penis or not. But if he started doing like the helicopter in his speedo, like, come on, that would be the greatest.
Oh, you know the people, the audience would like all their. They'd be throwing their Bud Light at him.
It would be like that scene from Bruno. Remember?
Exactly, 100%. The two guys start making out.
Oh, it would be great. That would be the greatest thing in the history of the world. By the way, Overeem is picking Ngannou. He also is picking Ngannou.
I bet he is. If someone hit me like that, I'd be pretty sure they could beat anybody too.
Yeah.
He's also picking his head off the ground still.
Yeah, I was going to say, his head's still in orbit somewhere around the Starlink satellites.
So recently, Sam, Hendo said the one guy he didn't like, Dan Henderson wrote a book. I don't even know if he could even read, but he wrote a book. And he says in his book, the one guy he hated the most when he fought was Hector Lombard, because every time during the gym, he would get phone calls saying Lombard beat people up during warmups, hurt people, like he was a bully. And then when they fought, Hector at the weigh-in goes, "Who said I was a bully?" Like during the stare down, he wanted to talk about it while they were, which I can say, like, were you there, Sam, when this was going on?
No, but I know everyone that was. So Hector was out for like a week. And what he was, when the round started, it was like he was throwing elbows and knees and whole nine yards. He hurt one of our studs, TKO'd him more or less, and then jumped on him and continued hitting him. Like the dude sitting there damn near unconscious. And instead of, you know, saying sorry, you know, stood up and started running off. And the guy he did this to has never said a bad word about anybody in their life, was not a bad dude. He did not deserve it. So it was actually Fernando Gonzalez. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Yes, Fernando beat the shit out of Hector. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, took him out back and did what he wanted to with him. And Hector left. Hector left the gym, and I've never met him again. But he was at gym for a week. He hurt one of our guys, and Fernando just beat the brakes off him.
Fernando had a good fight against MVP, which I thought he won, but they gave it to MVP. I thought Fernando won that fight. He had
It was a close one. It was neither of them did enough, but it was MVP was supposed to win, so he won.
Were you at Team Quest when Mayhem was there?
No, I was after Mayhem.
Yeah, and by the way, so you've done comedy now what, 3 times?
3 or 4 times, yeah, something like that.
Because you'll randomly put going to do comedy tonight. I'm like, I know you can do comedy. Like,
most of the time, I don't know I'm doing it until somebody asks, "Hey Sam, can you do this?" I said, "Yeah, okay." I've got one funny story I can tell on stage.
I just thought the only fighters that were working were the ones being booked by you, Adam.
I was on a show with him, and he did great. It was me, you, and Sokaju, Toothless Tom.
Tom Glicky organized it all.
Yeah. And Sokaju did pretty good.
Sokaju was funny because he just kept laughing the whole time himself. Like, yeah. He was just funny to watch him laugh on stage.
You ever do a? You ever on the same card as Sokaju done?
No. I watched him fight though. You know, a couple of times. When I did the shark fights, commentated shark fights, their pay per view, and he damn near got killed that night. You know, it was pathetic.
All right. Well,
referee let that one go a little. Referee let that one go a little bit too long. You know.
I did a show last week, Sean, and I'm on stage, and it was like the host bomb, first comic bomb. I finally cracked him. I'm doing well, but there's a couple like this the whole time. And I was like, so are you waiting for the bus or something? And the lady's like, I'm waiting for a joke. And she was huge. So I'm like, you're also waiting for a meal, right?
The best way to win the crowd over.
Dude, people were laughing, but it was like they were covering their faces so that you couldn't see them laughing. Dude, I did a show a couple nights ago with an influencer, right? The guy's got like 1 million followers. And it was like, he was doing well with just like straight up, like, where are my married people at? Where are my single people? Like, he knew every like trick without having to tell a joke. You know, people were laughing. You know, like, man, you know, why do people with bad breath be telling secrets? You know, like just like the basic comedy.
Hacky joke from 20 years ago.
Oh, man. But he headlines the guy. And it made me think of like, I was born in the wrong time. Like, I remember doing comedy. I used to have to plunge toilets to get on stage, right? I used to have to plunge the toilets at the New York Comedy Club. And then I
go after the show.
Is that what you called it? Plunging toilets?
Yeah. Man, when you bomb, you really bomb, huh?
Yeah. It was So I would only get booked at the Puerto Rican show on Friday nights in New York City, like Puerto Rican comedy. And they all hated me because I was the gringo, right? And I went on during the check spot when they give out the checks, right? So one time, this one comic who brought like 6 people wouldn't get off stage. He was drunk. And the guy's lighting him, wouldn't get off stage. So the guy comes over to grab the microphone from him to get him off stage. The guy lets go and he hits himself with the microphone, right? So now he thinks he got punched. So he starts throwing haymakers at the guy. So now the 2 guys are fighting. So the whole crowd runs out. No one pays their bill. They're like, the comics are fighting each other, right? And I'm supposed to go on next. So now the lights are on. Cops are there. And then someone's like, you going on? I'm like, no. He goes, I'll go on. So another comic goes on while people are taking police reports and just starts doing his act.
Kills.
Dude, there was a guy who used to do the show called Plungerhead, right? Well, that wasn't his name, but he would put 3 plungers. He was a bald guy. Jeff.
It was Jeff. Giving non-plunger stories? Okay.
Dude, he put 1 plunger here, 1 plunger there, 1 plunger there. And he'd be like, this is my impression of a New York, like, subway turnstile. And I went like this, you know? So... There was a black comic that ran. It was like the Black Knight was next door, and the guy was like, basically, the guy, one of the girlfriends was the waitress, and someone's like, "Man, you don't put my girlfriend on, but you put Plungerhead on, right?" And his name was not Plungerhead, but so the guy running it was Seymour. His name was Seymour, black comic. Goes, "I don't know Plungerhead." Like, he thought that was an actual name of a fucking comic, because back then there was like Earthquake and Typhoon and like.
Plungerhead.
This is the kind of shit that I used to have to fucking deal with, you know. Comics. The worst was I used to open for Carlos Mencia, right? And when I first moved to LA, Mencia would do 4 hours a night. It was like 2 hours of his material and 2 hours of somebody else's. But it was still like, I don't know why he wouldn't just do two.
He would crush, dude. He would crush.
Murder. He's a great performer, a great comic, right? But I, as the host, I had to sell his T-shirts, right, afterwards. From the stage, right? So I had to. He goes on at 10 o'clock. Doesn't get on till 2:30 in the morning. The wait staff will either left or they're fucking mad or they quit, right? And then I got to go on and be like and read his joke from his T-shirt. So now, like, hey guys, if you're Mexican and it was a fucking 9-page. So now I'm bombing on his fucking material after.
That's awesome that he made you do his material while he did other people's material. Great. No, Adam, I don't know the sum for you and Bill. I don't know if you guys know this, but there is an all-purpose punchline that works with every joke. Brendan Schaub uses it, and it's just, what the fuck? That's every Brendan Schaub punchline. Hey, have you guys seen this stuff with the war over there in Israel? What the fuck? And
Dude, I did a joke. Well,
yeah.
I wrote a free Palestine joke that, like, so I talked about, like, guys, you know, listen, stop saying free Palestine. Like, you're not helping. You know, I'm Jewish. And, you know, one thing Jews like, we like a good deal. So when you hold up free Palestine, we're like, sure, why not? You know, like who wouldn't want?
I'll take all of Palestine I can get for free.
So what was that, Don?
I don't know.
You're going to have to cut it out anyway, but let's hear it.
Yeah.
So, Sam, what do you got coming up?
It don't matter.
Well, shoot, I'm working in my food truck tonight if you guys want to come out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'll be at Blackman's High School here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
We'll be beating up high school wrestlers and then selling them food afterwards.
I'm going to go beat the hell out of the wrestling team. That's what I'm going to do. No, you heard Benson Henderson and Anthony Pettis are fighting again December 15th. I'll be on that card too.
Wait, they're fighting each other?
Yeah, they're fighting each other. They're having the threequel, the trilogy there. So, yeah, they're going to main event, and I'm probably going to co-headline that. They haven't given me my opponent yet, but they've all said, yeah, we're getting you set up on that card. They're going to make it huge. It'll be out in Vegas. It'll be a good time.
That's awesome.
Question is Anthony Pettis going to be able to jump off the side of the pit and land that kick again?
I'm sure he's going to try.
Bill, what do you got coming up?
I have a fight with Mike Perry, and it's only on Twitter. No, headlining the Vegas Laugh Factory November 13th through the 19th, F1 week. Yeah, and then, heck, watch Bass Reeves, who comes out next week.
What channel is that on?
I think it's Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, Bass Reeves.
Four people who have that. Yeah.
And then, Don, what do you got?
I got to cancel my trip to New York City to Madison Square Garden. Oh, shit. I'll have to find out. Fuck. I can't believe that. There goes my weekend.
All right. Sean, what do you got?
I don't know, man. I've been doing, like I said, my own podcast. It's far better than this one. I'm just kidding. No, so. Just me roasting Brendan Schaub mostly and family members. It's called the McCorkle Minute, and then it goes for like an hour, so I wanted to be ironic. So I've just been doing that and having back surgery in 6 weeks, so hopefully that'll do something for my back or make it far worse.
Well, good luck with that. I'll be on Greg Gutfeld show on Fox News next Wednesday. And
Sure you will. You've been saying that for 2 months now.
They keep postponing it because wars keep going on.
If another war goes off before Adam gets on, I'm going to start to look at him and point the finger.
Wait, it's a little bit too much coincidence at this point.
Yeah. And then I'll be in Vegas, LA Comedy Club, December 4th to the 10th. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Bill. Take care, guys. You guys are the best.
Bye-bye.